Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. Very, very, very familiar scripture. This really was not my intent initially when Brother Randy asked me to teach, but Lord put this on me, and a couple of phrases in there too that this prodigal son uses. But I want to title this lesson today, God's Prodigal Child. Now, I say that now, we're talking about the son here, but in reality, it could be that some of you ladies, you could be on the verge of being prodigal. It's not limited just to men. God help us, we sorry a lot of times, and we turn our backs on the Lord from time to time, at least I have. And it could be a lady, and so ladies, you know, examine yourselves too as we look at this. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've blessed us with. Lord, what a beautiful day, Lord, this is, Lord, to come together to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, Lord. God, to lift you up, Lord, to magnify you in this place, this morning. I praise you, God, for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that's gathered here. I pray you'd bless every home, God, that's represented, God, in this place today, Lord. Lord, that you'd be lifted up in that home, Lord, that you'd be worshiped and God adored, and God, you'd have your rightful place in the hearts of those, Lord, in that home. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless every teacher this morning. You'd fill us, God, with the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, without you, God, we're nothing. God, we're just flesh. Lord, God, with you, God, we can do all things, Lord, through Christ who gives us strength. And Lord, that's the strength we need this morning, God, to stand. Lord, is that strength we have in you, Lord. Fill us, God. Use us as your mouthpiece, Lord, this morning. Bless every class, Lord. I pray, God, your will be done in this service today, Lord. Save that one, Lord, that's nearest to hell this morning, God. I pray Holy Ghost conviction. God, move on their hearts, realizing, Lord, their lost condition. And, Lord, they'd turn to you. Lord, they'd cry out to you, Lord, as their Savior, Lord. Oh, God, I pray you'd move. God, have your way in every heart and every life today. Bless Brother Ken, Lord, in the time that he comes, Lord, this morning, fill him, God, and thrill him with the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray your will be done, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God's prodigal child. First of all, I want us to see in the text here, his leaving. Notice there in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Notice here in this the trouble of his leaving. Now, here is the younger son is here in the home with the father. You got to understand, being at home, and you know, those of us that know what leaving home's about and getting out in the, you know, into the world and having a family of our own, you know, we realize there's a big difference in being out on our own and being at home with our parents. You think about the security that you have at home. You think about the encouragement you have in your home. You think about the help that you have at home, you know, and getting out in the world, you know, the bills, you got to pay the bills yourself. You find out that there's more bills than what you thought there were. You thought, hey, it's going to be easy out on my own. But we find out that living out on our own is a lot different in reality than really what we thought, what our minds may have thought it was like. Here this son, the trouble of his leaving, he had everything at his disposal when he was at the father's house. He had everything. He had no wants. And spiritually speaking, folks, listen, at the father's house, we've got everything. He's given us everything at the Father's house. We have everything. We have the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have help through the Word of God as God speaks through the servant, through His servant, our pastor, and the teachers and whatnot, and the evangelists that come through. We have the encouragement of the Word of God and the exhortation of the Word of God at the Father's house. So we find here that there's trouble in leaving. You're leaving these things behind when you leave the Father's house. And it all amounts to, what it amounts to is pride. Pride, a prideful heart, a haughty spirit. Look in Proverbs 16, just a minute. Proverbs 16, about this. Proverbs 16. A haughty spirit. And we're all just a moment away, just a step away from having a prideful heart that says, well, you know, I think I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to go out on my own, do my own thing. We find here in Proverbs 16, verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And if you know this story here, and all of you should know this story, the text that we're in, dividing the spoil with the proud is what's going to happen with this prodigal son as he gets out in the world. That's what's going to happen. So better it is to be of a humble spirit, a lowly spirit, than to divide the spoil with the proud. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot better off for you to stay at the Father's house than it is out there in that wicked world, than it is out there in that cold world. It's a cold world. It's a cruel world. And we find here his leaving, the trouble of his leaving. He said, Father, give me. Give me. That's a prideful statement right there. Give me. Give me. Give me. That's a lot of times the attitude that we have. A lot of times the attitude that we have when we come to the house of God. Give me. Give me. Give me. I want something. Give me something. Give me what belongs to me. What he said here, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. In other words, that word falleth means that belongs to me. In other words, give me what's mine. I deserve something, so give it to me. Give me what I deserve. Oh, God help us. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell right now. Give me what I deserve. Give me what I deserve. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 33, the Bible says there, the haughty shall be humbled. The haughty shall be humbled. And you be sure about this now. Your prideful spirit and your prideful heart, if you belong to God, if you're a child of His, and this son, he was a son. He was a son even when he was out in that far country. He was still a son. But you mark it down, you will be humbled. You will be humbled. You're going to come to a point in time to where you will be brought to your knees. So he divided unto them his living. And let me say this before I move on, just in our thought here. But he divided unto them his living. This word living, goodness gracious, it's the same word that is used in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Talks about, you remember where Jesus is sitting there at the temple and he's watching his people cast in their money to the treasury. And you remember that poor widow that came around and he came by there and she cast in two mites, which was a farthing, the Bible says. I mean, just it was nothing really to what compared to what some of those rich people that had already come by had thrown in. And Jesus made this statement. He said, listen, he said, she's given more than these others that have come by because they've cast in of their abundance. But he said, she of her living. Of her living. In other words, what he said is, she didn't hold anything back. She gave it all. She gave it all. The same word is used here when the Father, he said, he divided unto them his living. Do you see what the text is saying here? The text is saying that the Father did not hold anything back from his sons. Somebody, as Brother Mike talked the other Wednesday night, somebody ought to say amen, praise the Lord. Because, listen, He does not hold anything back from us. Folks, we have everything at our disposal. God is gracious. He is gracious. He's merciful. He divided unto them His living. Didn't hold anything back from His sons, but He gave what He had. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Not only do we see the trouble of his leaving, in leaving the father's house and leaving behind what he has at the father's house, but we see the time of his leaving here. Look in, again in that verse. He said, and not many days after. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all. Now, we don't know exactly how many days it was, but it just says not many days. Now, I wonder if during those days, and it could be that he was gathering up what the father had given him. I mean, that's possible because, again, in this story, in this text, the father is well. He's well off. I mean, he's well off. And really, he's a type of our Heavenly Father, because our Heavenly Father, I mean, gracious me, I mean, he's got everything. He owns everything. I mean, so, and he's our Father. But I wonder if this son maybe, let's think about this. I wonder if this son maybe had second thoughts about leaving. You think about the time of his leaving. Not many days. He didn't just leave immediately. He didn't just grab his stuff and go. And said not many days after. And I never really noticed that there, but I wonder if maybe he had second thoughts about leaving. You know, I wonder, and in this text, and the Lord, again, He doesn't give you a word for nothing, for naught. The word does not return void. I wonder if there's somebody sitting in here today, maybe an individual or maybe a family, that the devil has rung your bell, and he has put doubts in your mind and put thoughts in your mind where you say, well, I don't fit in here, or maybe, you know, I just need to leave. I don't fit in, or maybe, you know, if I'm just not appreciated or whatever, things of that nature. Don't believe the devil. Don't believe his lies. Because I wonder if there's somebody sitting here in that way, and that maybe has those doubts in their minds. And the devil has, you know, sold you a false bill of goods. He's saying, you know, you just need to leave. You just need to leave. And those things are going over and over in your mind. Don't do it. Think about it. Think about what you've got here. Think about how God has blessed you here. Think about what the Father has for you here. Think about that. Not many days after. Did he have second thoughts? God help us. If you got those thoughts in your mind, please, please don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to him. He wants you out there in that world because, listen, you're not going to get help out there. You will not get... I don't care what he tells you. I don't care if he tells you that there's friends out there that will treat you good and be good to you and pat you on the back, whatever else. He's a lying, because I guarantee you get out there and they will not be there. Those friends, those so-called friends will not be there. This is where you got friends right here. This is really where our family is. This is our family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We that are saved. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And really, really, if you really think about it and you look at it, the blood of Christ that has brought us together and made us one family is really stronger than even our physical blood kin. You think about that. You think about it. And I've heard people say this before, stood up and testified or whatever. I think Brother Dennis has even said this and others have said it. You know, y'all are closer than our blood kin. Really, I mean, if you think about it, our closeness and the relationships that we have with one another as far as brothers and sisters, it seems like it's even closer than our blood kin a lot of times. And so again, we see here the time is leaving. I kind of got off a little bit there, but I want to see that the time is not many days after. Not many days. Did he have second thoughts? Said he gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The trail of his leaving. Not only do we see the trouble and the time, but let's look at the trail. He took his journey into a far country. He took his journey into a far country. That's where it took him. His trail led him to a far country. It's where he was headed. It's where he was going. You know, and I wonder if really he intended on going as far as he went. You see, when you leave, you really don't intend to go quite as far as you end up going. Yeah, absolutely. Listen to me now. Listen. You say, well, you know, I see people, and you know, I was thinking of somebody the other day. I was praying for them that hadn't been here in a while. And I think about I noticed them. They'd start missing choir practice, and then they started missing services. And folks, that's a telltale sign right there that you're beginning to slip. You're beginning to slip. And I'm not jumping on choir practice and nothing like that. I'm gonna leave that alone. But I'm just telling you, I saw them start missing choir practice. Then I started seeing them miss Sunday night service. Then Wednesday night. Now they're not here. I wonder if when they started just and let me just say this, when they started missing choir, they said, well, I just don't know. I'm not much of a singer or whatever. I just won't do that. You know, I just won't get in there. Then they started missing Wednesday night. Then they started missing Sunday night. Then they were coming Sunday morning. That's it. Now they're not even here. I wonder if when they started missing that first time, that first choir or whatever, they said, well, you know, I'll just miss this and that'll be all. I won't go any further. But you see, that trail will lead you further than you think it will. It'll lead you further than what you think it will. So there's a trouble, there's a time of leaving, there's a trail of leaving. He's leaving. He left the Father's house. Now, not only do we see his leaving, but let's look at his loss. In verse number 13. He said there, and there wasted his substance. There in that far country, he wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his substance. The word wasted means to squander. His goods were gone. He said he wasted his substance with riotous living. In verse 14, the first part of verse 14 says, and when he had spent all. When he had spent all. You see, his goods were gone. His goods were gone. You could also say it this way. His gain was gone. What he had gained. And let's look at it this way. Let's look at it in a spiritual aspect here. What we have gained spiritually from fellowshipping with one another, from sitting under the Word of God as it's being preached and it's being taught. When we get out there in that far country, that gain's gone. What you've gained and that fellowship with the Father is gone. You see, that fellowship's broken. It's gone. And those things maybe that you've learned have been kind of put to the back of your mind, and your focus is on those worldly things. His goods were gone. He had wasted them. He had squandered them. And look, he said when he had spent all. You know what the Greek word for all means? It means all. It means everything. When he had spent all. Now, you know, and again, we look at it here and we say, you know, this is material possessions. You know, he spent everything that he had, whatever. But again, folks, those spiritual things that you have with the Lord, when you get out there in that far country, man, they're as far from you. I mean, they're away from you. I mean, you don't even know that you've ever had experience in a way with the Lord and how that He's helped you and blessed you. I mean, it's out there. It's away. It's gone. It's gone. When he had spent all, his goods were gone. Not only that, but more importantly and more condemning was the glory was gone. Look what he said there. He said he had spent all. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You think there's glory in a pig pen? The stench, the rottenness, the filthiness. And we look at this again. We're looking at it in a physical sense, and we say, man, that's dirty. I mean, you know, that's dirty. And any of you who've ever been around pig pens, you know. Which I mean, when I was in my raising, Daddy had pigs. We had pigs. I mean, we had pigs pretty much all the time. We'd raise pigs, and he'd take them, have them slaughtered and whatnot. We'd have some good old sausage. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Can't beat that fresh sausage. But now, the raising part was the worst part of it. Because, man, they stunk. You had to go out there, and you call it going out there and slopping the hogs. Daddy had some of y'all that don't know anything about this. A lot of you do, but we had a bucket in there, and Mom always kept it right there by the stove. And right there to the right of the stove, between the stove and the cabinet, we got through. If we had any scraps, we'd rake our scraps in that bucket. And them pigs would eat anything. I mean, they would eat you nasty. They'd eat anything. And they were nasty. They were filthy. And this prodigal son had gone to the point to where this mighty family. Now I want you to notice something too about this in verse 14. When he had spent all, there arose. That word or that phrase, there arose, means there came into being. And nothing happens. Listen, don't let anybody ever tell you that, you got lucky in that situation. Because God sovereignly, for His children, has His hand on them wherever they go. Whether they're in the far country, whether they're at home. He's got His eye on them, and He can sovereignly stir up a storm, or in this case, a famine, to get you pointed back in the direction you need to be. You remember Jonah? You remember Jonah? God told him to go down to Nineveh and preach. Remember what he did? He turned and he ran. He said, I'm going to go down. He got in that ship going to Tarshish. And the Lord sent a storm his way. He sent a storm. You see, Jonah was going that far country. He is running. He said, no, Lord, not me. And God sent that storm. And you remember what happened there? Jonah was swallowed by the whale. And in that whale's belly, he repented and turned back to God. He said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He said, I'll go. And you see here, God sovereignly sent this famine. He said he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. The glory that he had with the Father was gone. The glory that he had. Folks, that's the worst thing you'll lose when you get out there in that far country. It's worse than losing your money. It's worse than losing your goods, your material possessions. Not having the glory. Not having the glory. Brother Dennis, can you imagine, the glory we've been able to experience around here and not having it? Just all of a sudden not having it and not being there. You seek for His presence and it's not there. You look for Him and it's not there. The glory of the God, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Father, the glory was gone. But not only were His goods gone and the glory of the Father was gone, but also generosity was gone. Look in the latter part of verse 16. No man gave unto him. There was no generosity. No generosity. You think you're going to make it out there in that far country? You think you're going to make it? Beware. Beware, it's not what you think it is. It is not what you think it is. Generosity is gone. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We've got as given a church as I've ever been in. Miss Faye, there's only one other place me and you's raised. And I've been around, I've visited a lot of places, whatever, in revivals and whatnot, but there's not a given church as this is. There's not. Some of you maybe have never, this is the only place you've ever been. Trust me, there's not as giving a church as there is here. I mean, I'm telling you, I know. I mean, I've got family that's in church. I've got friends that are in other churches, whatever. But if I ever, and I don't say it in a prideful way, but if I ever begin to talk to them about what the Lord's doing and how He's working and what He's doing through our frailty. I mean, they think, what? What? You doing what? And it ain't us. I mean, it's Him. I mean, He's just sovereignly. And again, it's His sovereignty. It's His glory. Here it is. We're at the Father's house. He's sovereignly choosing to work through us, to minister through us, to work through us in the work of the ministry. And I, folks, you ought to thank God that He does what He does here. I mean, you ought to thank God that He works the way He works here, that He blesses the way He blesses here. The generosity was gone. Generosity was gone. Psalm 142, verse 4, the Bible says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Listen now, listen. No man cared for my soul. No man cared. That's where the prodigal found himself. No man cared for my soul. But guess what? There was one. He's back at his father's house. But where he was in that far country, no man cared. You know, even the man that sent him into his fields, he didn't really care for him. He said, well, you need a job going out there. I got some, you go out there and feed the pigs, feed them hogs. Okay? No man cared for my soul. That's where you'll find yourself. Listen to me. If you've got in your mind, if the devil's put that seed of doubt in your mind saying that, you know, maybe I don't belong, but I just need to leave this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of hearing this preaching. I'm tired of being told not to do this, not to do that, whatever. I think I'm just going to go on my own. Listen to me. You'll get out there in that world, and I promise you, just what he said here, no man cared for my soul. They do not care for you out in the world. They do not. They care for you as long as you got something for them. But when it comes to the time that you don't have anything, they do not care. They do not care. They do not love you. In the Father's house is where you'll find the love that you need. In the Father's house is where you'll find the help that you need. Don't leave. Listen to me. And I'm telling you, I don't know who this is for this morning, but I'm telling you, don't leave the Father's house. Don't leave. Lastly, I got to hurry. His lesson. Not only do we see his leaving and his loss, but we find his lesson, what he learned. And it was a hard lesson. It was a hard... You don't have to experience a hard lesson. You don't. But now, if you choose to go that way, it'll be a hard lesson. I promise you, it'll be a hard lesson. First of all, let's look in verse 17. We find here in verse 17 his recollection. Look what he said. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. How many just servants of my father's house have bread enough? But he said, and I perish with hunger. I perish with hunger. You see, what was going on here, and again, remember I said, God, He has His eyes on us wherever we are. And there He sovereignly sent that famine, and He said He came to Himself. That's the Holy Ghost. That's work of the Holy Ghost. Because listen, when you're out there in that world, God begins to deal with your heart, and you recollect where you came from. You recollect where you were at one point in time in your life when you were closer to the Lord. The Holy Spirit will bring those things back to you. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? It's really the same thing took place in Acts chapter 2, where when Peter preached the gospel to those people there at Pentecost, and the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? It's the same type of conviction. The Holy Ghost beginning to convict and to remind them, say, what do we need to do? What do I need to do? Because he said, I know that in my father's house that there's servants that's got bread enough and to spare. He said, here, I'm hungry. And he said, I will arise and go to my father's house. Which not only does we see recollection in verse 17, he remembers where he came from. But in verses 18 and 19, we see repentance. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And I underline these next two words because I underline the two words over in verse 12, give me. That was his attitude when he left or before he left. His attitude was give me. But in verse 19, he said, make me. He said, make me. Repentance. In James chapter 4, I'm going to turn there right quick and read this to you. James 4. If you want to turn there, that's fine. But James 4. There was repentance there. He had a change of heart. You see the difference in his attitude when he left? He said, give me. Now he says, Father, he said, make me. Verse 8. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves. And we find here the prodigal son humbled himself. He said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me. You see, folks, if we get to that point and we realize that we're really not worthy, that really we aren't. We aren't worthy. But Jesus Christ makes the difference. He's the one that makes us worthy. We're not worthy of ourselves to be called a child of God, but Christ makes us worthy. You see, we find here His recollection, His repentance. But not only that, we see His return in verse 20. It said, and He arose and came to His Father. Now listen to me now. Listen to me. This is not all about, it is about the sovereignty of God. But you see, in that verse right there, in that text that I just read to you, He arose and came. That's man's free will. Because listen, He could have stayed in the hog pen. He could have stayed in the hog pen. And you know, you could be sitting in this congregation today, physically and body. Spiritually, you might be in the far country. But you can come back. You can come back. If you'll remember where you came from, remember where you were. Remember where you were. Repent, go back. But you've got to do it yourself. I mean, you've got to make that step to God yourself. He's not going to make it for you. You've got to make it to Him yourself. You've got to say, I'm going to do that. When you have that repentance, the Holy Ghost begins to deal with your heart to draw you back to Him. He's not going to force feed you. The Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force feed you. He'll offer it to you. He'll say, come on back. You make the step. He returned. He arose and returned. But not only do we see the recollection, repentance, and return, we see rejoicing. He said there, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. You see, his father had been looking for him the whole time anyway. He'd been looking for him the whole time. He had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. And he didn't get to finish what he had rehearsed. How about that? He had rehearsed the whole thing. I mean, he had rehearsed the whole bit. He didn't get to finish. Because the father was so glad to see him. The father said, he said, but the father said, I'm glad when the father butts in. But the father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Verse 7 there of our text in Luke 15, they're talking about the 100 sheep there. And the father going out, or the shepherd going out and finding that sheep. He calls his neighbors in verse 6, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. The Father's looking for you. But you listen to me now. Listen. Don't get out there in that far country. Don't get out there. If the devil's put that seed of doubt in your mind, just tell him he's a liar and you stay with God. Stay with the Lord. Stay in the Father's house. Stay in the Father's house. That's where you're going to get help. That's where you're going to get help. Okay? All right. I appreciate it. God bless you. You're dismissed. A few minutes.